Blog Talk Radio.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm on the Graceland, to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. I've reason to believe we both will be received in Graceland.
Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. You may be wondering what is going on here in Graceland on Soul Purpose Healing. Well, it just happens to be one of my favorite songs. And this song is so reminding me of my guest today and his journey to Graceland and his 9 years in the swamps of the Mississippi Delta, and you are going to be so impressed or enlightened with my guest today. And so Graceland is kind of the journey he's been on, but powerful teaching on the way to Graceland. So welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. I'm your host, Viata. And our topic today is bringing wisdom to the addiction of football players and senior citizens. And this show is all about bringing awareness and consciousness to the earth and realigning the inhabitants with the love, compassion, and forgiveness of our Creator, who I call Yahuwah. And this is a Tree of Life journey. Tree of Life representing the energy within us, the energy, the truth within us, the Hebrew letters within us. This Tree of Life is somewhat thought of as mystical, but the reality of the Tree of Life is that it's in each and every human being, and it just needs to be activated by our mind. And we're going to talk a little bit about the mind-body connection because our topic is so much involved with a mind-body connection. So our disclaimer for this show, as always, is that this show is not intended to replace any professional medical advice that you may be receiving. We are here to educate you, to enlighten you, and to help you ascend to the level of wisdom, understanding, knowledge of our Creator, Yahuwah. That's what this topic is all about. This topic today is a serious misalignment with your soul purpose. If you are in this situation yourself, addicted to substances, and you are feeling like a zombie, this is for you. This is a chance to become reconnected to your soul purpose. So we're talking today about a spiritual chiropractic adjustment. Your spinal cord may be out of alignment today because of the journey that you've been on. And so even though we're talking specifically about football players and senior citizens, this wisdom that you're going to hear today can be applied to anyone who is ready to ascend in the journey of life and to become more of what you were sent here to be doing, what more involved with your soul purpose, so there can be healing. There's always healing when you are doing and being your soul purpose from the heavens, from your Creator. And so why did I choose this topic today? The divine energy that comes to me is just amazing sometimes. When I think about each week what to say on this show, what to share on this show, and I'll be calling my guest in just a moment. But the topic was chosen today because I noticed the headlines on the USA Today newspaper one day last week, or actually a couple of weeks ago, and it got my full attention. Two recent articles in the USA Today. One was titled, NFL Sued Over Use of Painkillers. That was just one article on the left side of the paper. And on the same front page on the right side of that paper was the title, Drugs Taking Toll on Seniors. This type of thing gets my full attention, and I always sense that this is a divine energy getting my attention to do something, to be who I am in my spiritual name of Ana. I'm being who I am to help people ascend and become more conscious. So this topic, of course, made me think of the man who I've known all my life and all the football pictures that hung on my living room wall as a child. And so this topic is really near and dear to my heart because as I read the article, I was just so troubled and grieved in my spirit. And the one word that came to me as I read these two articles was conundrum. I thought, this is a conundrum. And so I knew that's what I was thinking and feeling. This is a conundrum. And if you're not clear on the meaning of the word conundrum, that it means a confusing and difficult problem or question. So the confusing problem is that you have football players, professional men playing this game, who are saying in their suit especially that they are victims, that these former players are saying they've been given these medications to keep them on the field without being told about the long-term impact. And my mind is going, really? Some of these men are making more money in 1 year than the average person makes in a lifetime. And the conundrum is they're feeling victimized because they're being kept on the field without being told about the long-term impact. And the article goes on to say that the horror stories are that these Super Bowl champions in 1985, there's more than actually 500 former players involved, so they're talking about a class action suit. And they're saying this paints a picture of a league, the NFL being a league that is recklessly and negligently created and maintained a culture of drug misuse, substituting players' health for profit. And the team doctors and trainers were handing out drugs like Halloween candy. And then an attorney makes a statement that to mask these injuries, to get these guys out on the field to their detriment, keep paying them those $1 million to their detriment. The list of narcotics, anti-inflammatories, local anesthetics reads like a pharmacy: Toradol, Percocet, Vicodin, Ambien, if not thousands of injections and pills over the years, and not once were they warned about potential dangers. Are we feeling the conundrum here, this confusing and difficult problem? And in many cases, these anti-inflammatory drugs are now causing bleeding and renal failure in these men. One man now has stage 3 renal failure. Some man is left homeless. The players say that there was a general disregard for their health. Not only were they not told for years, he also was fed a constant diet of pills to deal with the pain. So player safety and reckless abandonment that's associated with NFL play, and their very being that engenders sympathy like nothing else. There's also the notion that players should have known better with such a violent game. Okay, we're starting to make a little sense of this. And then the article ends up with, these are men with families and futures, and their lives shouldn't be cut short in the name of entertainment. Oh, my goodness. Conundrum, conundrum. Confusing, confusing. This is crazy, I thought. And so you look over to the right, and there's an article for seniors who are saying they were like zombies. One victim said, in the painkiller misuse. We're talking two groups of people, categories of people who are trying to deal with their pain. And they're calling these senior citizens in this article the medication generation, seniors misusing prescription drugs. Now, that's another conundrum. Medication generation, seniors are misusing prescription drugs, and by misusing, they're defining as using drugs without a prescription or not as prescribed. Now, these seniors believe that doctors want to help them. We all have been trained to believe that doctors want to help us. We have been programmed to think that way. But the reality is, and the truth is, that trained to help you only with drugs. The average doctor keeps a prescription pad in his pocket, and when you say you need help, they pull out the prescription pad. And interesting statistics about the senior citizens and their state of addiction is that in the last 10 years, from 2002 to 2012, the number of senior citizens dependent on prescription pain relievers has grown almost threefold, from 132,000 to over 300,000 people, senior citizens, are dependent on prescription pain relievers. So the misuse, they're saying, has the hallmark of an emerging epidemic, a serious problem, and what they feel the solution is, but many of the senior citizens and some of the authors of the article, the solution is better education. And no other age group uses more pharmaceuticals than senior citizens. The Center for Disease Control data in 2010 said 75% of pharmaceuticals overdose death involved painkillers. So with all that information going through my head, I decided to invite someone who has a higher perspective on all this and lots of wisdom. The senior citizen who was quoted in that article, at the end of the article, believed that after they were weaned from all their drugs, that they felt like a new person. But the thing that, quote, the thing that still pisses me off, though, is that nobody tried to take me off the drugs sooner. I think it was just ignorance. And that is what I think we're dealing with both groups of people here, football players and senior citizens, is a great deal of ignorance. Ignorance about the medical system that we live in now that is, for the most part, quite broken, because no one is really getting to the root cause of the problem when it comes to pain. But you do have a few medical doctors that are waking up and becoming more conscious. In fact, today I received an email that was advertising an interview by a Dr. David Hanscom, who is an orthopedic spine surgeon. And his journey over the past 30 years has brought him to a place of holistic mind-body approach. He no longer thinks that every degenerative disc disease needs an operation or surgery, but pretty much his bottom line about chronic pain is, and this is so revolutionary, I was just amazed at the wisdom pouring out of this medical doctor. Some of them are truly waking up. And what he has found from his research and from attending seminars, Dr. Hanscom says that physical pain is a manifestation of mental pain. And what he finds is what doctors are missing is the key to any patient's cry for help when they have pain is to listen first. And the pain, he says, is connected anxiety, frustration, and depression. There are specific pain pathways that have a permanent programming effect. If you can imagine watching all these football players being tackled and thrown to the ground season after season after season, what Dr. Hanscom pointed out is that they are producing a permanent program embedded in their nervous system, that is from the brain down their spinal cord, that's permanently damaging the nervous system, or at least sending a message of pain to that part of the body that's being impacted by that hit, that constant tackling or that constant attacking. So the symptoms are of a mind-body syndrome. You're getting hit, you're being attacked, you're being tackled, and so it stimulates the brain to form new pathways. And Dr. Hanscom suggests from his 30 years of practicing that the solution is consciousness, number one. Awareness, writing down the anxiety, frustration that you actually may be feeling in your brain, and detaching from that, and then reprogramming in a way that you make shifts in your environment and your thinking. So what has been happening in our world of football and in the lives of many senior citizens is that they are not becoming consciously aware of the need to shift their environment and their thinking and reduce the anxiety, the frustration, and the depression, which Dr. Hanscom definitely says is a big, big help in reducing the pain. So all this information has come to me in the last couple of weeks, and I now feel like we should get some wisdom from the expert in this area, my father, whose name is Sherman Howard, has been in my life, of course, all my life. He's been there for me. We have become partners in many ways to help him maintain his health. And he has agreed to come on the show today and share his perspective. He is a former NFL player, played from 1949 to 1953. I've posted or uploaded some pictures for my listeners that are just a sample of the book that's coming out that I've written about my dad. I've written his biography, and this year we're hoping to get that book published. And so we are sharing with you the knowledge of someone who has been there, done that, and now still living a healthy life. So we're giving him a call.
The person you have dialed can't take your call now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording,
Hello? Hello? Okay, I have the wrong number. Let me try that again. Okay, let's try that again. We're dialing in to Mr. Howard's residence.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Howard. You're there?
Yes.
Okay. I tried. I think I dialed your cell phone first. So how are you?
I'm okay today.
Okay, you're dialed in. You're welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. I have introduced you as, of course, my father, who I've known all my life, and you're a former NFL player, and you're living a life on earth as a senior citizen, which is what this show is all about. And to me, you represent the consciousness that is needed in both of these areas of football players and senior citizens. So thank you for joining us today, and of course we have an outline that I've given my dad to follow along, and one of the first questions or first things I'd like for him to share is about his life in New Orleans. I believe that the first 7 years of a person's life influences greatly the rest of their life. So Daddy, please tell us about the 9 years you spent in the Jim Crow South of New Orleans, Louisiana, back in the late 20s.
Well, in the South, it began like everywhere else. You learn that you have obstacles that you have to overcome. And in the South, your skin was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The color of your skin presented problems for you. Now, I've learned earlier that you don't get involved with your circumstances. You watch and see how you handle it. So I was told that I didn't have a problem with my skin. It's the other person who has a problem. So I always thought of it as being a problem for them to deal with me. And that's where I learned as a young kid. Now, I didn't know all the other implications as I got older, but that's where I felt. I just operate under certain limitations, that's all.
Yes, and I believe you told me your mother told you that over and over again when you encountered hatred, that they have a problem. Is that right?
That's right. They had the problem of dealing with me.
Yes. So your mother early on was planting a seed in you, I believe, watching you and knowing you as I do. Your mother planted a seed of compassion, wisdom, and understanding at a very
young
age. Yeah, I said Your mother planted a seed of compassion, understanding, and wisdom at a very young age, right?
Oh, yeah. Those people didn't have a formal education, but they were well-schooled in life. And
yeah.
They knew how to handle life a lot better than we do.
Yeah.
And so because they had to in order to survive.
Right. So they learned survival skills of compassion and wisdom.
Survival,
right?
Skills, that's what it was. Survival skills for them.
Yes. So
now let me pick up this other phone, because this one seemed to be a little dead. Hold it.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me pick up this other phone.
Okay. We'll wait on you. We're waiting on Mr. Howard.
Yeah, this is much better.
Okay. And,
yeah.
And Mr. Howard is in Chicago. So thank you for tuning in. And then, so your mom, you and your mom, as I well know, left New Orleans when you were 9 years old and went on a train to Chicago. And
that's right.
You're still living in Chicago. We cannot get this man out of Chicago, the cold winter of Chicago. So
yeah.
How did your early years in Chicago prepare and shape you for a professional career in football?
Well, one of the things I participate in all sports and all seasons. So you learn how to stay in shape, keep your body in shape at all times. And I participate in all sports where you learn how to run, jump, defend yourself. We learn how to box. You learn how to wrestle and gymnastics. You learn how to do tumbling. And we do tumbling in the gym and work on the outdoor gyms and jump around and catch balls and all that. All those skills were turned into football, and we played in all kinds of weather.
Mm-hmm.
Zero weather out there, be shooting baskets on the basket or playing touch football on zero weather, and you weren't well prepared clothes-wise, so you learn how to accept the adversities of cold weather.
Yeah, you learn how you to, sure have.
So that's how you, by the time you got to athletics, that's all was required, that you learn, you run, you jump, and you learn how to accept the hardships of playing in athletics.
So you were an all-around athlete most of your young life, right?
That's what we were in those days, yeah. In those days, everybody, you know, we didn't sit around. When the season, whatever it was, volleyball, whatever it was, track, whatever the season was, that's what you participated in. Now it's more specialized.
Yes, it is. So now you ended up, for the most part, in a career football. You ended up teaching football. What did you enjoy most about playing football?
The camaraderie. The camaraderie, watching outstanding athletes participate. That was the thing. And then playing in New York, there's no city like New York.
Uh-huh.
And being in a situation that I was in, I was under the best of conditions. Met all the prominent people, Paul Robeson, Becky Robinson, all the people, James Baldwin, all of them would come to the games and they'd come to the locker room afterwards. So it was a very good experience for me. And I enjoyed the people that I met and the environment of New York. Can't beat it.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm sure most players today enjoy all that and more because the biggest difference, I would say, is the salary, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think the size. The size of the athletes is the biggest difference as a player.
Okay.
There was guys when I was playing making big money, but wasn't as many of them making big money as they are now. But size now and speed, that's the big change. And I think there's more of an egotistical attitude rather than team-orientated nowadays. Guys are more orientated toward their own personal image, I would say. Well, we was more or less concerned about as a team. We just more or less the team spirit all the way along.
So you think the ego, though, plays a role with the money that they're making?
The money and their attitude toward other players, too. See, we had the idea, you know, we're all in the same game. We're all participating. And see, after the games in those days, after the game, everybody would get together, both teams, and was always a part of the your visit or whatever it was. The team players on the other team would come and you'd all take them out together. Now you don't have that anymore. You don't have that closeness. So the guy figure you as the enemy, and he's going to do whatever he can to hurt you. I say.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's interesting. It's become more divisive almost.
Well, definitely. See, we would never think about trying to hurt another player.
Because
we're going to see him right after the game. And then,
your
own players would complain about you trying to hurt another. They don't seem to care about that now. You know,
well,
they hit a guy when he's not looking. When he's not looking, whatever they can, they try to get you out of the game as quick as they can. Now, they may say nowadays that guys don't try to get you out of the game. That's not true. They still try to get certain guys out of the game if they can. And everybody congratulates him when he does get one out.
Now, don't you think a lot of that comes from the top? This is a business, maybe more so.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's the image. The image is projected from the coaches on down. And the coaches, a lot of the coaches who are coaching feel that way. A lot of the coaches who are coaching are former players, and they just feel that way too.
Even the owner of the team.
Well, they have a different concept, as I say. The game has changed, so the image and everything else, the philosophy behind the game and everything else. So that's the way. Excuse me.
With all these changes from the new plan and especially the risk on the health nowadays of football players, what advice would you give parents about playing sports?
I think the parents have to check the environment first.
Okay.
What kind of environment is your kid playing in?
Uh-huh.
Who are the coaches? How knowledgeable are they? You got to do all that expect now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to be very careful about that, talking about it.
Okay. Do you need to get some water?
I think so. Give me some water.
Okay, we'll
but,
get some.
That's the difference in the game now. You know, it's one. I advise any parent make sure their son is under very good condition playing. And who the coaches are, who's in charge of the league, and how much knowledge the coaches have. All those are very important.
So this is interesting because we're going to talk about the seniors and their drug addiction. And nowadays, you have to do your homework, right? These parents cannot just drop their kids off at the football field and think
That's
everything's
right.
okay. They mm-hmm. have to do some homework, find out who their son is playing under, what type of background, what, and then even watch maybe the coach while he's coaching and the kids,
That's
right?
That's right. You got to stand there and watch practice and see how he handles the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen some, you know, 12 and 11 and 12-year-old boys that certain things you just don't do.
Uh-huh.
But they, you know, they got a different philosophy. So you got to check the philosophy of the coaches that you're dealing with and check the environment on which they're playing. And that's
uh-huh.
the main thing.
Uh-huh. So now what about young adults, say high school, college, who have this idea they want to be professional football players? There's no checking the coaches out when that situation. What do you tell these young men who are ready to jump in there without their parents' advice?
Well, that's a decision. That's that. Well, the old saying: sooner or later, you're gonna have to make a decision that affect your life. And this is one time you got to make a decision. Are you willing to accept the consequences of playing? Because there are some consequences. I tell anybody,
Definitely.
If you play long enough, you're gonna have some injuries. That if you live long enough, you'll feel them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the game. That's the way the game is playing. It's like a gladiator in the Roman days. You get out in that arena, certain things going to happen to him. He may lose an arm, a leg, or get juked. But just being in the environment is going to create problems for him. And there's no way you can alone. The only way you can do that is, as I say, is safety. As far as the kids are concerned, don't have anything unusual, roughness or anything like that going on. But the injuries and the hits, and over time, it's going to take. It's just like a boxer. If you're boxing, you got to take a hit. It's going in the long run. If you live long enough, your body will respond.
Now,
I don't
so
think
what
there's
about
any
these? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That was,
I don't
what
think
about
there's any
these?
Safety in that.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's
what
any guaranteed safety net.
No guaranteed what?
Safety net.
No guaranteed safety net. You're taking
no.
a risk, right?
That's
big
right.
risk these days.
Big risk.
So
big
what,
risk.
What about these players, Dad, who are suing the NFL because they claim that the NFL was reckless and negligently created and maintained a culture of drug misuse, substituting players' health for profit. Do
well,
we have sympathy for them? Are they victims?
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. See, there was no acknowledging again. For one thing, I don't think they thought we'd live this long, most of them. See, the 50s and 60s, that was it. But now guys in the 70s and 80s, and your body begins to slow down, and you can't heal as fast as you used to. And I've been taking many hits where when you come to the sideline, they just throw the celery sauce by you, and you just, okay, he's all right. You go back in. So there was negligence on both sides in that case. So It's a real dual situation. The coach is trying to win, and the owner's trying to have a good team, and they're using the players as their methods of winning or losing. So that was it.
Yeah, but I just have a real problem with, I was saying in the introduction of my show that I call this a conundrum because it's a confusing and difficult problem. And these players, it's just kind of hard to believe these players are so ignorant about the long-term effects of the drugs that they're taking, being injected into their bodies and taking season after season.
Well, you're talking from a standpoint of knowledge. Most of those guys don't have any knowledge about all that. So they you know, the old saying is most people suffer for lack of knowledge.
Right.
And I don't think I knew, now, some of the painkillers that I took, I didn't know what the after effects would be. Even right now, when you take a prescription, you, none of us, they didn't give you any instance of what the side effects would be. You just took the prescription. And now you get a subscription. They got the side effects on there. They didn't used to do that.
Right.
Now, same way now, in the old days, you just, whatever they say take, you take. And if the doctor say take it, you took it. And that's the way it was.
So I think we're at a point where these men need to wake up and educate themselves and make more better choices if they want to have a better life.
Well, that's the point that you hit on the whole problem there. Make better choices, and who do you trust? Now, that's another thing.
Yes.
Who do you trust?
Right.
Because you got to rely on somebody. You got to trust somebody. If you don't trust the doctor, who are you going to trust?
Well,
the doctor may give you a shot now, like some drugs that will have an effect on your heart and other parts of your body. Many of the doctors don't know that. All they do is they prescribe the drug. But the side effects, you have to have somebody there. So it's just tough living. That's all there is to it.
It is. It really is. And I think these men are a perfect demonstration of what I call the universal law of reaping and sowing. Because they accept these million-dollar jobs, and they go in with their eyes open and their brains shut down and their ears closed. They don't want to hear about the side effects probably because then they'd have to make some different choices.
That's right. That's right. And that's the old perennial problem. All of us. What you know, you got to make the choice of whether you don't accept the pleasures of this without the repercussions. And that's what we're all going through. And some of us are blessed. Like now, I'm 89, and I figure I'm just blessed. So what I try to do now is read a little devotional every morning for God and then take some exercises and watch my limitations. Now, what I try to do is read a lot to keep my brain stimulated because that's what's the worst part is when your brain goes.
Yes.
And then the Alzheimer's and the dementia. But if you keep your brain still, read a lot and do crossword puzzles and all like that, your brain might stay stimulated. But if you just sit around and watch time go by, it will take its toll on you.
Yes, it will. So what have been your biggest health challenges over the years? What would you say?
Recognize my limitations.
Okay.
Certain things I just can't do anymore, and I have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your mind may say one thing, but your body says no.
Okay.
And that's hard to accept. That's hard to anybody to accept. But that's the way it is. You weren't guaranteed but 70 years, and when you go past that, anything might happen.
So
there aren't too many people around. There aren't too many people around after 70. And so what you say, you don't know, you never knew you'd reach this stage, so you don't know how to act.
Right. So I know that you have pain in your body occasionally, and you go to visit the doctor, and this is where we have this trust thing. We usually, in our lifetime, we think the doctor has the answer. But I'm at the place where I like to talk to people and ask them, when you go to the doctor's office, what are your expectations?
Well, you expect him to give you the truth about your body. That's one thing. Now, after he does that, whatever he prescribed, I'd get a second choice. I mean, I'd get a second opinion from somebody else, or check on it yourself, because he may not know. See, a lot of doctors, they might say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, or this is routine. But you better get a second opinion or do a little research on your own.
And I think most senior citizens are not at that level. They're not doing that, getting a second opinion. And if they
well, that's why I say you need someone out there who's looking out for you.
Yes,
you got to have somebody looking out for you.
Yes.
Because that's always, say once a man, twice a child. You're going to your second childhood. And when children, you always got to look out for them.
And I'm so grateful that you and I have this, unofficial partnership, because every time you go to the doctor, you call me and say, what about this medication? What about this prescription? And there have been a few that
that's right. I'm not going to get anything unless I call you and ask your opinion on it.
So I love our partnership because it helps me grow. It really has helped me. It has helped me go to the source, the Google or what it link or LinkedIn, whatever I need to do, and just get information. It doesn't even take a lot of time, but I am blessed to be able to help you on this journey in your senior years to provide you with the information so you can make the right decision and the choices on whether this medication that these doctors continue to give you is good for you. And what is the main reason you don't take them? Because there's so many side effects. Right? Are you there? Uh-oh.
What happened?
I don't know. Are you there? Sometimes we drop off. Did you hear what I said about the side effects?
Yeah.
It's like that's the main reason you decide. Would you agree that the main reason you decide whether or not to take or not take a prescription that a doctor gives you because of the side effects?
That's right. That's the main thing. A lot of times you say the doctors don't know either because they bury their mistakes.
Yeah, they bury their mistakes. I love that.
Sure. So that's what I'm saying. Again, at this stage, you've never been here before, and a whole lot of doctors never had patients this old before. So they're not sure. They're always experimenting, too.
And the sad thing about, these senior citizens are trusting their doctors, and they end up with, as in this article that I read about, they end up with a shopping bag or boxes of transdermal patches, of Xanax, of drugs, some narcotics up to 100 times stronger than morphine, bottles of hydrocodone, another powerful opiate. And it just speaks a lot about the medical system and some of these doctors who are really not consciously wanting to help people as much as they're just robots doing what they were trained
all
to
this
do.
All this is new because most people never lived this long.
Right.
Most people, this is entirely new for the whole medical profession. They never had to deal with folks in their 70s and 80s before. So it's new. Most people died 60, 65, but they never reached that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they're learning, too.
Yeah, so there's a need for education. Not
That's right.
so much the doctors, because once they go through that system, they really have to work hard to relearn and re-educate themselves on what's best for their patients.
And they're not going to do it. They're not going to do
right.
it because it costs more money, takes more time, and much easier to get rid of a patient in a short period of time than spend a long time with him. So it's a problem. So
busy
the best thing you could do. Now, I say the best thing to do is try to learn how to take care of yourself as best you can.
Yeah, take charge of your health. Get a partner who can help you every time you go to the doctor to make a decision on whether you need another drug or you need some other type of treatment. Because what this article points out is many of these senior citizens are angry once they figure out how they become zombies because their doctors were uneducated about what they really needed. And as I shared earlier on the program, Daddy, is that Dr. Hanscom, who's an orthopedic spine surgeon, who after 30 years has become a holistic mind-body practitioner, where he recognizes that the number one thing a patient needs when they come in your office is to listen to them. And have them write down their negative thoughts of anxiety, frustrations, their pains, how their relationship is with their spouse, with their children, with their work. That's the first step that doctors...
Well, that's why I say it's so important that they learn as early as possible. As sooner or later, you got to make decisions that affect your life. And until they get to that point, they're going to let somebody else make decisions for them.
Right, right.
Okay,
so,
well, I'm glad.
So what are you doing? What are some of your methods of maintaining your health at 89? Let's help some of these senior citizens listening
the main thing is stay close to God. And then every morning you do some things to help yourself exercise-wise. Do as much exercise as you can and watch what you eat and watch your weight. I mean, there's no guarantee, but that's a helper. That's going to help you. So that's all
yes,
I can tell.
I totally agree because I think you agree once you get into your senior years, there has to be sort of a reprogramming in the mind that you can't continue.
Well,
it's
the old saying, you got to learn to shift gears.
Yes.
Like a car. Shift gears. It might be you have to operate in low speed all the time.
Yeah.
but you got to learn to shift gears. You can't be going 30, 40 miles an hour no more. But you have about 10 miles an hour maybe.
Yes, yes. I wanted to share, I have a new client, he's 92 years old, and he has a pacemaker. And he had 18 years of taking care of a wife who was in a nursing home. And this man has taught me so much in the little time I speak to him. And one of the things he says to me, he lives all alone in a 3-bedroom house. He said, I cannot handle any conflict anymore in my life. At that age, he doesn't want to deal with any more conflict. And he plays golf every day, even though he's 92 with pacemaker.
That's beautiful.
It is. He's playing golf, but he went through the most challenging, emotional, stressful time of his life trying to help his wife get well for 18 years. And so that's why he has a pacemaker, because he could not keep pace with that stress of seeing his wife deteriorate and die slowly. So I'm learning from him.
Like someone told me, the game is, once you get into a certain age, the game is over. You're in overtime. That's all. You're just in overtime. But the game is over.
Yeah.
The game is already over. You're just in overtime. That's all.
Okay.
And so that's where you got to live. So I know the game is over for me. Now I'm in overtime.
So I would add that in overtime, you need some big support of your team. You need more support of your team because you're tired now. You're going to play four quarters, and you're tired. You need some help. All right, let's really get in there and help each other out. There's no more one-on-one me all by myself, but it's teamwork.
Because the game is over. You might go in a day. Okay. All right, you take care now.
That's another thing I want to say about being prepared to leave the earth. What is your attitude about that? Because a lot of these senior citizens are afraid of that.
Well, that's why I say you have to get into the Bible. You got to get devotional. Find out who you are. The old saying, if you don't, you learn as early as you can who you are and whose you are. You don't belong to yourself. So your owner is going to take over sooner or later.
Right. And you go back home with joy, huh?
That's right. Okay.
Okay. Well,
all right, then.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful evening.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon. Love you. Okay, that was Mr. Sherman Howard, and I am just so blessed to have this man in my life. He is my mentor, my friend, my source of wisdom all the time. And everyone should think about having someone, a senior citizen in your life. These senior citizens need help. And if you're listening to Soul Purpose Healing, you know that we are all about becoming conscious. And we want these senior citizens to use their experience, to use their wisdom and knowledge to help the young people. These young people need just as much help because even though these articles are pointing out the addictions that football players have and senior citizens have, we have a lot of young people who are also addicted to painkillers in their early life. And so it's important for those of us who understand why we're here, just as Sherman Howard just said, you need to understand who you are and why you're here. And so this show, the intention is all about raising you up to understand your sole purpose on this earth. When you help even seniors to see that in their later years, their purpose is to teach what they have learned. Each one of us has a responsibility to learn the lessons, to not be angry about what happens in our circumstances, to not be resentful, and to be forgiving of ourselves first and others next. Once we have that process working, we're forgiving ourselves, we're learning, we're growing, then it's our responsibility to teach those who are willing and who want to learn. And so today I encourage you to find a senior citizen in your life. If you don't have one, find someone who is a senior or anyone who you feel is not consciously using the lessons that they have learned to teach others. And help them live a healthy end of the life or a prosperous end of the life journey that's full of purpose so they can hear those words, "Well done, my faithful servant." The scriptures are all there to tell us, to help us to walk in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And that's what the Tree of Life is all about, walking in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, ascending with each step that we take each day. So thank you for listening. I hope you will share this show with your friends. I believe there was lots of wisdom coming out from a man of 89 years who has just been a blessing in my life, and I'm sure he can bless others. And we now can look at these football players in a different way. We can look at them and have more understanding of where they have been and the conundrum that they're in, the confusion that these men have been in, that they were not able to make different choices. And now with all this knowledge coming out, these lawsuits coming out, we can now see that these men are becoming more educated. Hopefully, these younger football players will make different decisions, especially about how long they're going to be in this violent game, and it is a violent game, and let the bruises in their body affect their brain and the other organs in their beautiful house that Yahuwah gave them. So I hope you're becoming wiser and more knowledgeable. And please tune in next week. Next week I'm interviewing a young man who had an interesting health journey and recovered. I love those kinds of stories. And so tune in next week, and I'm on a path of ascension, 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 and with every guest, with every show, we are going higher and higher to be who we were called to be and have soul purpose healing. Thank you for listening, and I'm going out once again with I Am Light, one of my favorite songs by India Arie.
head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light. The mistakes that I have made, or any other things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind.
United. Hosaina.